Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got Mike Fisher in for Choppy. A reminder, Fanniversary is taking place October 26th. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Free everything. Entry, autographs, pictures with Jalen Smith, Chris Woodward, your Rangers manager, Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, Rowdy, Cowboys mascot, star, Stanley Cup champs, all of us out there, Texas Live, October 26th, for free. So come out and join us. At Fish Sports is the Twitter handle where you are usually going to get all the developing news on the Cowboys, including injury updates, where yesterday, Fish, Jeff Kavanaugh tweeted that Brian Broaddus told G-Bag he does not expect either tackle to play against Philly, Tyron Smith, and Leo Collins possibly out again?
And throw those logs on the same fire with what we talked about yesterday, which is the Cowboys are preparing to play without Amari Cooper. Now, none of this is locked in yet. Amari Cooper's going to try. What we suggested yesterday on this show is not only is Amari Cooper unable to do much in practice for sure, but maybe it would benefit him to not do anything at all for a while, especially with the bye week on the horizon. Lyle Collins says, yeah, I'm feeling better, but better isn't good enough. I bet you Lyle Collins doesn't practice today. Tyron Smith, I still go back to last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He goes out on the field on Sunday to try to test the ankle at the Jets. So he thought he was going to play. So maybe there's a way that he gets closer as the week progresses, but I'm with Broaddus here. Problems with the tackle positions. Not necessarily that their backups didn't survive. They kind of survived the Jets on the whole, but you're missing the best left tackle of his generation, maybe, in Tyron Smith. You're missing Lyle Collins at right tackle, and you're missing a Cowboys premium playmaker in Amari Cooper, quite possibly. Hey, can I note this, though, about the Eagles? Have you looked at their injury list?
No.
They're in the same boat. They really are. They're in the same boat. They've played without their two starting cornerbacks for a while. They're trying to come back this week. We will see. They lose the left tackle, Jason Peters, to a knee in their last game. We shall see. Linebacker Nigel Broadham, who's apparently from Tottenham on the Sea. They're without DeSean Jackson. So on and on and on. They have some of the same issues.
Yeah.
So a war of attrition Sunday night at AT&T.
877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Before you just said that, before you just gave that Eagles injury list, I was getting ready to run to bet Philly +3. The Cowboys are favored by 3 right now. If you tell me that there's no tackles and no Amari, I still think that's worse than what Filthy is dealing with. But you are at home. But right now the Cowboys are favored by 3. But I did not know that state of Eagles injuries. The little troll, Howard Eskin, will join us on Friday with the very latest. We do know that Tyrone Crawford will not be out there. Gone for the season yesterday. They shut him down.
This is tough in a lot of ways, and it's a crossroads for Crawford and the Cowboys. First of all, these hips problems, and it's not just a hip problem, I keep saying. It's both hips, and it's nasty. He had some of that at the end of last year, played through it, and played well. So he takes off time this year, does rehab, didn't do much in OTAs and stuff. You know how he rides his bike, famously, to and from the facility?
No.
Yeah, him and Tank Lawrence ride their bikes.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were going to give me a technique.
No, they for fun, Lance they ride Armstrong. The streets of Frisco.
Okay.
So I asked him the other day, are you still riding your bikes? And he said, well, Tank Lawrence, now that he's rich, has an electric bike.
Okay.
And no, if I can't ride my bike because of my hips. It hurts too much to ride a bicycle.
Oh, my god.
And he's trying to play pro football. So he told me, I've got bursitis in both my hips. Now, that's the bursa sac thing, like in your elbow. So I guess you can get surgery on that. So he's going to IR.
Well, that's Ben Rogers' wife.
There you go. Getting surgery. Because she worked at Spaghetti Warehouse, so she knows all about it?
No, because she's got hip replacement surgery.
Oh.
Hip surgery.
Okay, good. Spaghetti Warehouse. But here's the dilemma. He's about to turn 30, and there's an $8 million savings next year if you say goodbye to him.
Oh.
And
bye-bye.
He's such an important guy in so many ways, but you start adding up the injury thing with the financial thing.
Bye-bye.
And age, 30. And you're at a crossroads.
Tyrone seems like one of those types of guys who, like Sean Lee, may take less to stay here. I mean, is his career maybe done? Hips. Can't ride a bike right now.
The sad part of it is, you know, and I think because he's so media friendly and stuff. Yeah. Plus, he's a great dude. He's a good guy. He's a mean practice player, which is good.
And a mean bar patron.
He is that, too. So he got a suit made, a three-piece suit, and it wasn't his idea about the lining. He just let the company put in whatever lining they wanted. The silk lining, you know how you have it inside your suit?
Yeah.
It's Lombardi Trophies.
Oh.
So he
jinxed us.
He jinxed himself. Yeah. You know, and it's typical of him. Some guys in the NFL would get their Lombardi Trophies on the outside. He wants to be a little more subtle. It's on the inside, but now it's not going to happen for him in terms of being on the field for one this year.
So now people are saying that Tristan Hill is going to get plenty of playing time, and Kavanaugh responded to that saying, that's a bad thing. What's up with Tristan Hill?
Well, he better hurry up. And I know that this, you know, this is going to be a five-year thing, you know, a four-year thing. So he's just like Taco. You got to give him time.
Yeah.
But as we mentioned yesterday, we need to start with not saying he has Warren Sapp traits. At this point, he doesn't even have Malik Collins traits. He can't even get a uniform. He'll get one now. I'm bothered by what we saw in preseason, which is the last time we saw him, which is he spins around and gets knocked down.
Someone who I respect a lot in the media called me yesterday and he said, Rod Marinelli built his reputation in Tampa Bay. Can you name some of the players up front that Rod Marinelli had in Tampa Bay? He had studs.
Well, Simeon Rice and Warren Sapp for starters.
So the follow-up question was, why does Rod then go into that draft room, if that perception is correct, and say, hey, we're fine with try-hard guys in the second and the third. He's a Hall of Fame assistant coach with studs. And then we go and wait for the Rod Marinelli project in rounds 2 and 3 when he built everything off of Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Now, of course, he doesn't march into the war room, pound his fist, and have everybody cower in his wake.
Right.
The Taco Charlton pick was not just Rod's pick. That was Rod and Will McClay and Jason Garrett. And again, that's why when Garrett comes on with you guys and says it's collaborative, it is. It's not just Will McClay. It's Will McClay's board, but it's constructed from advice from the coaches. Do the coaches have too much voice here? I don't know. Would you want to do it without the coaches' voice? Would you want to give them, hey, here's the groceries that I bought. Now you get to cook whatever you want, but I bought the groceries.
Right.
That's not a good way to do it either.
Not usually, but if my one coach keeps giving me these boring traits that aren't working, then maybe I listen to another defensive coach, or I listen a little bit more to the scout when it comes to that one position. You know, not everyone can evaluate everything the same, you know? So that's the way I feel about it. Right now, the perception is Rod Marinelli should stay away from the draft room. That's a perception that is out there, and Tristan Hill is not helping it.
Maybe Tristan Hill will start helping now because he needs to. And we're not talking about him being Warren Sapp. We're talking about him being Chris Covington. That's all you're asking Tristan Hill to be right now, is be a rotational player who's as good as Chris Covington.
Did they miss on their evaluation of their defensive tackles to start the year?
Well, we all think Malik Collins is great, when in fact he's probably just good.
When healthy.
He's in the final year of his contract, by the way, which is another reason they drafted Tristan Hill.
Right.
That baton is supposed to be passed.
Antoine Woods
is a fascinating case. He's an undrafted, you know, an undrafted quote nobody. The human log. That's a try-hard guy. Your entire defense falls apart because you're missing your undrafted try-hard human log? Then your defense is built on a house of cards.
I love this from Jerry Jones yesterday. Then we're going to get to the fan text. He got detailed. First off, he was ready to scrap with Ben and Skin. He knew that major questions were coming. and he was ready to scrap. But they asked him, evaluate your defense for us.
Had times when we can tackle better. I think we've had times when we've got some backs that if they'd looked back at the ball, they wouldn't have gotten the calls for interference. And if they'd looked back more, I've seen us make some plays where we did look back and have a great defensive plays. I think you can take bad angles. I've seen Heath take great angles and make great plays. I've seen his angles lack. That's important at safety that you do that. I think you've got to have some instincts back there. 27 has them. I think Awuzie has them. I've seen really Byron Jones. I've seen Byron Jones really do some real good things. Two or three of those guys I just mentioned did them better last year. But this is just the first third of the season this year. We may be having a different conversation in the next six games, one way or the other.
So, look, Jerry threw in some critique there.
Yeah.
We need to tackle better. How about we turn our heads when the ball's being thrown? There's some Anthony Brown and Cheeto in that.
Angles?
Angles. He put Jeff Heath right on blast. It's like he follows Twitter because that is what the Tolos call out Jeff Heath for the most, with angles. And then he highlighted Jordan Lewis, who the fans have been screaming to play more, and he gave some props to Byron Jones as well.
Now,
that's not very common for Jerry to go that in-depth.
In-depth and specific. The Tolo should know that he's not making that up. He's not just, like, making up in his own mind.
Right. That's what the coaches are telling.
That's a result of him, and this is one of the positives of having an involved owner. That's a result of him going into the coach's room and saying, what is going on in here?
Yes.
And Chris Richard turning to him and probably watching film with him and saying, that's what's going on, that's what's going on, and that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And what I love about Jerry's answer here, because a lot of times he's Jerry Poppins because he's such an optimistic person, spoonful of sugar. This time he said, hey, things can change in the next few weeks for the better or for the worse. That's brutally honest about Jerry on his own secondary.
Autoflex Lease and Fantex weighing in, 877-881-1053 from the 817. The biggest failure of the 2019 season happened before the season even started. They have not gotten one significant contribution from a draft pick in 2019, and it doesn't look like they're going to, even with Tristan Hill ready to step in.
I'm trying to think of the other picks.
Connor McGovern, ain't heard from him at all.
Connor McGovern's hurt, but he's hurt.
Okay, but as the fan texter points out, this draft was a trash bin for the Cowboys as it stands here in October of 2019.
Unless you count Amari Cooper as being drafted.
Yeah.
Remember, they didn't have a first-round pick, and they feel like they've got this loaded, deep, talented roster. I'm not sure that we expected somebody they drafted in the sixth round to jump
Their feelings are
and play.
Wrong. Their feelings are clearly wrong about having a loaded and talented roster.
Oh, I don't see... This is where I think
you change your mind about you agree with all of us that they had a top five, a loaded roster.
Oh, I agree. And I may have been wrong too.
Hey, but like, they had a loaded roster 3 weeks ago, but now they don't have a loaded roster?
Yeah.
Well, no.
It's the same roster.
Fish, it's being willing to evaluate your own opinions and whether or not they were misguided or, in fact, incorrect.
Where do you think their roster's weak besides defensive tackle?
Well,
they're loaded at all.
We've overrated the top talent. Let's just say that. Like, at the very top of it, we've overrated almost all of the players at the top of it. Amari
Cooper,
Dacker.
Amari Cooper is a top receiver in the league. Zeke's a top running back.
Has he lived up to that this season?
He's got good numbers.
Zeke's fine. Zach Martin is top and lived up to it.
Okay. Yeah, Tyron Smith is hurt.
Tyron hasn't.
Was playing
Travis
great.
Travis hasn't.
Tyron Smith was playing great. Let's not be crazy first fake here. Like, you can say that they're underperforming. There you go. Are they underperforming or are they under-talented? I think we would all say, underperforming.
You can't lose to the Jets and not admit that you're underperforming. Your talent is better than the Jets. It has to be.
All right, let's have that as a future segment, though. We'll see if, you know, some of these players are just overrated or they're just screwing up as a unit.
And we talked about that yesterday, but I just think 0-3 is real. But 3-0 is real, too.
Yeah, but it's not as real.
3-0 against the Giants, Redskins, and Dolphins. Every team in the league could do that.
We can do of what matters more, you know, the 3-0 versus the scrubs or the 0-3. To me, 0-3 matters much more against who you played. Like, it was terrible teams, as Roy just said. So, yeah, you have to remember that a little bit. But when a litmus test came, you failed miserably.
A litmus test that you should have aced. Should have.
And or at least not be down 30 against Green Bay or 20 against the Jets. I'm not telling you to go 6-0.
Yeah, I'm telling you to beat the Jets, though.
Yes. You have to beat the Jets.
I'm not telling you to beat Aaron Rodgers, since you never do. And I'm not telling you got to beat the Saints, because that program is as good as yours or better all the time. I am telling you, I don't think it's an overreaction to say the Jets game is a disaster.
Yes.
The Jets game changes the potentially changes the course of everything here. Head coach on down.
What irritated me the most yesterday, like I know Jerry is trying to spin it, I would have asked him, was that an embarrassing loss? Are you embarrassed by that? And he, they play the players the same way. There's guys on that team we've tried to draft. It's the NFL. Anyone can this, anyone can that. No, you need to at least internally feel that's embarrassing. I think they do, but that's the way Jerry was going to spin it. When we come back, we may get another humongous trade. We got one yesterday with Jalen Ramsey. There's an NFC East rumor, and are the Rams better than the Cowboys now? Should they have pulled that same trade for Jalen Ramsey? And Mike Fisher is going to agree with Jerry on how sought after Jason Garrett would be on the open market. Get ready to fan text the heck out of this one next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Should the Cowboys have pulled off the Jalen Ramsey blockbuster? I think it's going to be a quick vote in the room. And judging by the Autoflex Leasing fan text, I think we're all going to be in agreement at 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Mike Fisher in for a sick choppy this morning, and we may have to throw Mike out after he agrees with Jerry Jones about Jason Garrett being sought after if available. Michael Irvin also live at 9 a.m. Here we go. The breaking news last night. The Jacksonville Jaguars trade Jalen Ramsey to the L.A. Rams for 2 first-round picks and a 4th. So Jalen Ramsey, who's looking for a new contract, is going to the Rams. The Rams are going all in, and according to Josina Anderson, the Rams didn't have any preliminary discussions with Jalen's agent about an extension. So there is a possibility that Jalen goes, plays there, and rolls out. And the Rams gave up 2 first-round picks and a 4th for him.
Rolls out or holds out or pouts out
right, or
my back hurts out as soon as the Rams lose 2 straight games. This is the rare blockbuster trade in which both teams lost.
What if the Rams win the title?
Oh, if you think they're going to win the title, then I will retract my statement until they do or don't.
I mean, are you eliminating the Rams?
Well, I mean, they have the same record your team has.
Yeah, but they were just in the Super Bowl.
Your team just played the Rams in the playoffs. Do they look like a playoff team that's prepared to beat Seattle in the playoffs now, Dallas?
No.
Okay, so I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm disagreeing with you just for the sport of it.
Yeah.
Yes, the Rams were really good last year, and they're mediocre now. The Cowboys were really good last year, and they're mediocre now. So why can't we hold the same standard to each?
So they shut down Marcus Peters, they shut down Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
They traded Marcus Peters to Baltimore, and all the reporters were like, this doesn't make sense. Something else is coming.
Right.
Well, this was the something else.
Here's what I don't get, and maybe you've done some research on this. I can't. It's too early. Why don't they want Marcus Peters and Jalen Ramsey at cornerback?
Well, Marcus Peters is a psycho. He is a gambler. He hasn't been playing well. He's been in decline.
Are these your old Kansas City roots coming out?
No, this is doing research on it. So in terms of people who evaluate talent, I went and looked up Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM. I actually have the quotes here. Marcus Peters has been in decline, and it's easier to get rid of him than bench him. That's not a type of guy.
He's
a humongous gambler.
Good. Yep.
He's a humongous gambler, so he can give you that interception here and there. But we've all seen plenty of clips where Marcus Peters is running with his back the wrong way. Like, he'll get beat. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And he's a nut job. He's always been a nut job. Even that's why Kansas City got rid of him. You don't get rid of someone that early if he doesn't have problems.
Including Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
Who's got problems and who caused problems.
But Lombardi said about Marcus Peters, won't tackle, guesses, and not disciplined in system. It will take a great deal for the Ravens to make him better. The Ravens traded for him because their entire secondary got banged up as well. But now it's Jalen Ramsey to the Rams. Do we all agree we would not have wanted the Cowboys in a similar position? So think of where the draft picks would have ended up as of today. We all agree that we would not have wanted the Cowboys to make this deal. Choppy would have been all in, I believe.
That's too high a price.
I agree.
That hamstrings you forever. Now,
if the Cowboys were 5-1, would that have changed your mind?
Yeah, yeah.
It would have. Yeah. You wouldn't have said, we're 5-1. We're fine without him. Or would it have been more attractive as a finishing piece?
Yeah, I'm shooting my shot. I'm right now, I have to bridge the gap between present and future. If I was 5-1, I could shoot my shot and justify whatever happens in the future because I really, really think I'm going to win the Super Bowl now, or I'm going to the Super Bowl now, or I'm going to the NFC Championship game, in which case the coach certainly would be pushing for that kind of trade because that would save his job.
Yeah, number one, I don't know where my draft picks are going to end up if I'm the Cowboys right now, so I don't want to give those away if they're in the middle of the first rounds. Number two, I need that cheap labor. The Rams, and this is from Warren Sharp, here's the ranking of their 2020 cap hits. Are you ready? And this is where responsibility is so important in a salary cap world. 2020 QB hit, number one, $36 million for Goff. Running back hit, number one, $17 million for Gurley. D-line cap hit, Aaron Donald, number one, $25 million. And then number six at wide receiver with Cooks at $16.8 million. They are sitting there at the very top of cap hits for five different positions. I don't want my team getting involved in that.
Fan texture points out, oh, and by the way.
And Jalen Ramsey is going to get his money.
He's going to get his money for a team that's not going to win that division. Because as you said yesterday, the 49ers are going to win that division. Or here comes Seattle. So the Rams may finish third in that division, but they have all these gigantic, sexy names.
This is the downside of being on that LA scene. Because the pressure. The Raiders are about to get hit with it too.
Yeah.
Going into the new stadium. It's Los Angeles. It's flash. It's glitz. It's glee. The glamour. And you got to provide this to your fan base in a place like LA.
Or they won't show up.
Right.
And they don't. They already don't show up. It's already an issue. The Raiders won't have that issue in Las Vegas because traveling gamblers and families on vacation will be their audience.
Roy, where's the fan text on agreeing with us? We would not have given up this price as the Cowboys for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, from the 817, there's absolutely no reason for the Cowboys to have given up a price like this on a player they're not even sure they would be able to convince to stay long-term. As you mentioned, Josina Anderson reporting that the Rams don't have a long-term deal in place for Jalen Ramsey. From the 469,
By the way, I always assume with these deals, and I'm going to assume with this one, that the extension gets done. When's the last time you guys can think? I think Philly, It works with compensatory picks, but when's the last time you can remember a deal like this big, and the player leaving?
It'll get done just like Amari Cooper will get done here.
It'll get done, but it'll probably be an overpayment. I mean, with what you give up, Jalen Ramsey and his agent go to the negotiating table and say, now, what else are you going to do?
You're going to give me 18.
You're going to give me exactly what I asked for, or you're going to look like a dip S to your entire fan base. From the 469, the Jaguars clear winners of this deal. There's an outside chance that the Rams could end up below 500 by the end of this season. And if that's the case, these picks will serve them very well going forward. Remember, it's not so much necessarily about the picks. It's about the package deals of being able to have two first-round draft picks over the next 2 years to dangle to other teams. That's a great point from the 469.
It's all grand. The Jacksonville Jaguars can celebrate now or pretend to because they salvaged something. But the real salvage was keeping Jalen Ramsey there.
Other trade rumors. Yesterday, a Cleveland reporter said, expecting Trent Williams to be on the Browns very soon. The Redskins have come out and emphatically denied that, according to the Washington Post. So there's some more trade talk.
Hey, can I make one more point about the cap with the Rams? And you're right. Surely they have a plan, right?
Their plan is to say, screw everything, let's burn the world to get one title.
Okay.
That's their plan.
The Cowboys, whether you like it or not, do have their plan.
Yeah.
Their pie is a plan.
Their plan is, let's have a window for 5 years.
Right.
Let's try to have a Super Bowl window for 3 to 5.
And so they've got $90 million, $80 million of cap room next year. Okay, that sounds like a whopping amount. But remember, it's earmarked. It's committed. It's already spent in their minds. Jalen Ramsey asking for $22 million doesn't necessarily fit into that pie.
All right, here we go. Now I'm going to sit back, enjoy my coffee.
Oh, boy.
And let everyone destroy you at 877-881-1053. Jerry Jones on yesterday with Ben and Skin. What do you have to say to the Tolos that want Jason Garrett to be held responsible?
Well, you're not allowing me to.
Oh, let me set that up differently. Let me set that up. This is how I was like, you know what? I was very depressed and devastated. Jerry was on a plane yesterday when he was supposed to come on with us.
You were too.
Yeah. I get real.
You were clinically depressed.
Yeah. So I don't really want to get into it. But when I heard Jerry open up like this, I was like, okay, maybe y'all can have him.
Yeah.
Because Ben goes, we'll allow you to explain to the fans. And when Jerry heard that word allow, Ben was trying to be nice. Jerry wasn't having it.
Well, you're not allowing me to do anything. I want to talk about our team, talk about our coach. I have felt that we've got a lot invested in Jason Garrett. He's evolved into what I think is a top coach. He would be a very sought-after coach if he were out here in the open market. So there's a lot of pluses there. He brings a lot to the table. And I can genuinely say that that is not a thought that I'm having. So it would be unfair to our fans for me to have any indication about what I may think the future is as far as a head coach. Everybody's aware that we're on the last year of his agreement, but that really just means that we can all sit down and take a look at things at the end of the year. That was the case when he had won the first three ball games, and still the case today after losing the last three.
That's a lot. It always is with Jerry.
Yeah.
It's one paragraph, and there's one, two, three. If you're thinking journalistically, there's six headline stories in what he just said in 30 seconds.
But let's go with the main event. Jason Garrett would be highly sought after if he was available on the open market.
All right, you have to play. You have to let me help you do a mental magic trick here.
You better be Copperfield.
Okay, I'm trying. but you, the Tolo, needs to be willing to play along with this.
You know what? Let's have you continue right after this. All right? Yeah. Yeah. That's a tease.
All right, but
you've been telling me to work on the tease.
Okay, so take a minute or two to pretend you're not a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
You're just a football onlooker. You're a football analyst. You're a football thinker. Some mental magic to get you to wrap your head around what would really happen if Jason Garrett got fired in Dallas in terms of his career.
And would anyone else be interested if Jason Garrett, as I predict, is gone after this season? Please kill fish in the fan text. Next.
I have felt that we've got a lot invested in Jason Garrett. He's evolved into what I think is a top coach. He would be a very sought-after coach if he were out here in the open market.
Woo! 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantex. Mike Fisher in for Choppy to agree with Jerry on Jason Garrett's availability if and when he is gone this year.
If, as you're listening to this, your answer to what Sean just said is, oh, Fish, you're just drinking the Kool-Aid again, then I'm begging you to step back from your Cowboy fandom, which is fantastic. I'm begging you to move to a 30,000-foot level above the NFL. Not in Dallas, not in Arlington, not in Fort Worth, not in Frisco. 30,000 feet above the NFL. Okay, listen to what Jerry's saying. Sean, if you'll allow me, I really got to bang through the six headlines.
You're not allowing me to do that.
That's
anything.
One. That's good. That's Ben and Skin and Jerry wrestling with each other. That's good. Two, I got a lot of invested. We said this yesterday before Jerry came on.
I don't want to hear the headlines. I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me why why you agree with Jerry
All
about
right.
Jason's availability. You can get the headlines later.
All right. Play a magic trick on your mind and pretend you're not a mad, angry, passionate Cowboy fan and be dispassionate about it. Pretend you're a Titans fan. Pretend you're a Falcons fan. Pretend you're a Browns fan. Pretend you're a Redskins fan. Pretend you're a Chargers fan. You don't think that you would think, we'll take what Jason Garrett brings to the table. Because in the cases of, I think, all five of those teams I just mentioned, what Jason Garrett brings to the table on paper is better than anything you've had in 30 years.
But Jason has been able to bring whatever to, first off, what does he bring to the table? And secondly, what has Jason been gifted with talent-wise versus all those other organizations? Jason has always had Tony Romo, and now he has Dak Prescott. He's always had a pretty good, talented team around him. They haven't had horrific defenses really around here. They've been solid, always a pretty great offensive line, always some number one targets. Like Jason Garrett, much like Dak, has always had, in my opinion, a lot around him.
I don't want to be the pro Garrett on the argument because you're not crazy. His supporters would say, well, they have developed talent because he's the head coach and he developed some of them. Not every team has developed talent. Okay. Lots of teams have first-round picks. Lots of teams have sixth-round picks. He's part of their draft program. He's part of. So he helped build the Cowboys into what they are.
Here's what Jerry told Ben and Skin yesterday about what he actually brings to the table on a game day. This came from Atolo. I saw it yesterday. They're like, ask Jerry what Jason, what advantage does Garrett give you on a game day?
Oh, I think he's tremendously organized on game day. I think without a question, he's in his career, you'd say, Garrett had his team ready. You know, we all need a certain discipline. We all need order. He creates that. There are so many things that Jason Garrett does well. You can't separate coach from the person. And so you got to look at integrity. You've got to look at skills, people skills, all of those kinds of things. Does he have a bad moment or a moment that he'd like to do differently with people? I have them by the hour. And so you're right. It's degrees. It's degrees. Some people have long suits. Some people have short suits. And you can get it done with all of those freighted. These are all of those qualities. And all in all, Jason Garrett is a really, really top individual that happens to be coaching. And for the period of time that I've known him, I've known him for 20-something years. Knew his dad for 20 years during that period of time. I think we answered it right off the bat. He wouldn't have been our coach for 10 years. Do I not think he has a lot of great qualities to coach?
Ben and Skin ask a good question, but it's also a trick question. Sean, when things are going bad on your show, what is it exactly that you bring to the table, Sean? How do you defend yourself when things are going bad? By saying, well, I'm a quality person? I don't care if you're a quality person. Well, I work hard and I'm organized. I don't care. You're 0-3. Well, you know, I inspire Roy. I don't care. You're 0-3. So that's why I'm asking us, forget 0-3 for a minute and just think about Titans, Falcons, Chargers, Browns, and Redskins. There's the five places where there might be job openings in this offseason, and I would suggest that all five of them would be out of their minds not to interview Jason Garrett. You got to interview Jason Garrett. And you want Freddie Kitchens? Freddie Kitchens wants to grow up to be Jason Garrett.
Does getting an interview make you sought after?
It's the first step. There's people who won't do the 30,000 feet thing who don't think he'll get an interview because he sucks. And I'm asking us, back off from the sucks and just pretend you're an NFL analyst, not a cowboy analyst.
Yeah.
Those teams would covet Jason Garrett.
Here's how I would analyze it. I would agree with you. There would be an owner. First of all, I think the perception outside of DFW on Garrett is exactly like ours. Like, we wouldn't want him. He hasn't won anything. It's a joke. I think for a lot of fan bases, there would be ownership groups, I agree with you, who'd be like, hey, first off, maybe I can control this guy. It's not going to be an issue, the puppet perception. And I would consider it if I had really strong, first of all, a really strong team in place. It could not be a developmental thing. It would have to be win now talent, and I would have to have strong coordinators on both sides, because I could bring in Jason as a CEO. I could consider that. But if it came to having him lend his offensive expertise, if it came to a young team where I have to develop the talent, I'd be against it. But yeah, I could see the Redskins hiring Jason Garrett.
The Redskins are a disorganized organization. If you believe that Garrett is an organized person and a CEO, that's a good spot. The Browns are a disorganized organization and always have been.
Yeah.
If you believe that Jason Garrett is an organized leader, then that's a good spot for him. The Chargers don't even know what city they play in.
Yeah.
You don't think they could use some organization? So even if I agree that he sucks as an offensive play caller or as a developer, which I do not agree with, he has attributes that would make him coveted in an interview, and maybe he kills in the interview.
You know what I worry about when I hear Jerry's statement there about Jason? What's the famous saying about Jerry a lot of times? Whoever gets to him last. And I feel like there's two or three people, this is a guess, that he confides in that's like...
Mike Baskey.
not Baskey, although maybe you should listen to Baskey a little bit sometimes. Depends what day Mike is going off. But someone was like, Jason is this good. He would be highly sought after. Jason is a hot commodity. Jason would be an attractive option. And that's what I worry about when I hear Jerry talking like that.
Of course, it's immaterial, because if they don't have premium success this year, Garrett's fired and you don't have to worry about it anymore. But I'll give you an organization that loves Jason Garrett from the top. The New York Giants, if they had a job opening and Jason Garrett was available, would hire Jason Garrett. Not covet, not interview, hire. He would win.
Was Fish able to convince any Tolo on the Autoflex CC fan text 877-881-1053?
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with all of them that are screaming no. From the 940, he's mediocre at best. He's Marvin Lewis. From the 817, compare Garrett to Marvin Lewis. From the 214, how many other coaches have held a position as long as he has and failed to make a conference championship game? Name them. You can't, because there aren't any. There aren't any that have been there that long that haven't at least been to a championship game.
Yeah,
even Dan Quinn can say that. Even the horrible Jeff Fisher, him of great mediocrity for over a decade, made it to a Super Bowl. And here we are with Jason Garrett not making it to a championship
game. Someone could counter back and say, we would like some division titles and a lot of 10-win seasons. I'm just playing devil's advocate. To go on the other side. So
if making an NFC championship game is the be-all and end-all, and I wish the Cowboys had done that, then why is Dan Quinn even getting fired? Because he's running out of time, just like Jason Garrett's running out of time here. I just don't agree that makes Dan Quinn a bad coach because they've given up 35 points a game in their last four games. I don't think that necessarily makes you a bad coach. Maybe just everything coming together is bad.
Did you see the Garrett GoFundMe?
No.
A Cowboys fan created a GoFundMe to pay off Jason's $3 million contract and have him fired.
Well, he's going to need an extra $2 million, but yes, that's still funny.
I'm trying to find what the money amount is up to. I'm looking at the article now on Bro Bibles.
Hey, can I say this, too, about, I know, it's funny. Well, it's never funny when people lose their jobs. That part's not funny. But Jason Garrett did sign on for this extremely high-profile job.
Yeah, and he's getting $5 million a year.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to dismiss him as the clapper and the yawner and the red. I don't think that's fair. But I think he'll live because he signed on for a job on the biggest stage in sports. Head coach of the Dallas Cowboys is one of the biggest jobs on the biggest stage in sports. So you take some abuse along with some of the blessings.
The
one quick thing, and from the AutoFlex Leasing fan text from the 817. If you really think Jason Garrett is worth something to the rest of the league, dangle him and see what you can get in a trade offer. If no one's willing to give you something, clearly he's not coveted.
With all due respect, you're dangling him when he's just lost three games. That wouldn't make very much sense.
Major League Baseball is threatening to light up the Angels with a $2 million fine if they can confirm that the Angels, the reports say, knew that Tyler Skaggs, who passed away right here in the Metroplex during the Angels-Rangers series, if the Angels knew that he was abusing drugs and didn't say anything about it, fined for $2 million, man, I almost think it should be a harsher punishment. Like, they should be absolutely lit up if multiple employees knew.
Yeah, this is a problem, and the way they're addressing this is a problem. They need to go after the organization, not the individuals, okay? The organization allowed this activity to take place for years on end without doing anything about it. Now they're going to put all the blame squarely on the players. All that's going to do is push guys who abuse the drugs in the sport into the darkness instead of seeking the help that Major League Baseball and these professional sports organizations surely have the resources to provide them.
Meanwhile, why do we not throw a sympathy parade for the team or maybe even the person who dies of drug addiction, dies of a drug overdose, dies of partying? I thought this right away, and I must have been the only one because I didn't hear anybody else say, why don't we hold off on naming a stadium after Skaggs? What if he did something wrong to cause his death?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll be darned.
Right.
He's a party drug addict. So
it's different nowadays, though. Whereas, like, I remember one of the first major, major battles I got into with a previous boss, and I was, like, lacking sympathy for Whitney Houston. I was like, Whitney Houston, like, is abusing drugs, but now, and I'll probably get yelled at for this, now it's more, well, what was the anxiety and the depression and the downfalls in the life to cause that person to not be able to stop using drugs leading to their death?
That's legitimate.
But and with the physical Michael, addiction. With, the physical
it's
addiction.
It's all legitimate.
Well, you said party drugs. It was opioids and fentanyl. Those are very powerful drugs that also have a very physical component to them.
If you're doing opiates and fentanyl and drinking beer, you're partying. I thought this about Michael Jackson. I think we have learned that. We need to think about it before we celebrate it or destroy it. I thought this back to Mark Chmura. Remember the tight end in Green Bay?
Yeah.
They were going to name a street after Chewy because he won a Super Bowl. And then he got in a hot tub with a bunch of high school girls.
Yeah.
Maybe we should hold off on naming streets after people, except Dirk Nowitzki.
When we come back, Dirk, Fish just launched an investigation on you. When we come back, your next chance to win $1,000, we want you to party with us, Jalen Smith, the Cowboys cheerleaders, star Stanley Cup champs, Woody, the different Rangers that are rolling out will tell you how to do that. And can the Stars stop the bleeding? That, and we have a team in the World Series. The headlines you need to know on a hump day. Hump day! Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.